Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast. So Project Runway is back on Bravo.
I'm so excited. So 16 designers have been challenged to create looks for a new cast of judges, including, of course, veteran Project Runway fashion guru Nina Garcia. And these past episodes have been a real emotional roller coaster, from Mimi revealing she's the first transgender model on Project Runway to heartbreaking stories of family hardship. You guys are definitely going to want to keep the tissues handy.
We got to speak with host Carly Kloss, mentor Christian Siriano, and judges Brandon Maxwell and Elaine Welteroth about the upcoming season.
Well, Carly has been a part of the fashion industry for the last 10 years, and she's been a Project Runway fan since day one.
She talked about her experience as a model and how she was a fan of the show from the beginning and how that helped transform her into the perfect host, judge. Oh, and by the way, executive producer. Here's the interview. All right, everyone, we're sitting down with Carly Kloss. How are you?
I'm so good. I'm excited to be chatting with you guys.
We're so glad to have you here.
So we know that you were a fan of the original Project Runway.
Oh, yeah.
Its original iteration. What was it like to get this job offered to you?
Well, it's a huge honor to be a part of this show, and it has an incredible legacy. I mean, I grew up watching this show, and it was certainly my window into the world of fashion long before I ever dreamt that I would work in fashion, be a model. You know, for me, growing up in St. Louis and just not having any access to New York City, this was a show that really showed me the creative process that designers go through and the magic of New York and the magic of fashion. And it's really full circle that it's coming back to Bravo and that I now at this point in my career have had 10 years in the industry and can bring all of my experiences to this show and to help these designers in shaping their careers.
How has that helped you sort of in your role as a host, like your experiences?
Oh my gosh, it helps in this role in so many ways. I mean, so many, and also I got to be an executive producer on this season. So in both shaping the challenges and the episodes that these designers, you know, the challenges that they're working on are things that are kind of reflecting what's happening in real time in the fashion industry, conversations that are happening real time around inclusivity and diversity, around fast fashion, around sustainability, around just all sorts. I mean, we have our first transgender model on the runway this season, and she's amazing. And so it's just my role as an executive producer, and also as a host and as a judge. I mean, everything that I've experienced in the industry has given me just such a perspective and an opinion that I am unafraid to share on the show and genuinely, authentically share. I mean, I think that for me is what's so exciting, is that I just get to be myself, and I love that. I'm not pretending to be anybody else, and I mean, not that I guess I ever am, but this show is like an opportunity to really showcase and tell stories about all that I've experienced.
You know, we spoke to Brandon and Elaine separately today, and they both brought up how it was important to them that each contestant really considered the model and if she was comfortable in what she was wearing and how it felt. And, you know, I think that's not something that a lot of us outside of the fashion world necessarily think of. So how has your experience as a model, like, really, you must have an opinion.
It's interesting. You say it's not something that you think about, but when you buy something, or maybe why you buy something, is because how it makes you feel when you put it on, when you go to the office, when you go on a date night, when you just walk down the street. And I mean, I think as a consumer, as a woman, like, I know that I am impacted by how I feel when I put something on, and it's certainly the same for a model on a runway. When a model puts on something that fits her well, that flatters her, that's made in a quality way with the best fabrics, you just stand a little bit taller and you feel a little bit more strength in your strut, and you sell it a little bit better. And that certainly, I think, comes through on the runway and for the models. You know, when a model felt really good in what she was wearing, she delivered it in a different way. And I think that this is a competition show. I mean, each each episode is someone goes home. And so you really need, the designer really needs their model to be their muse and to really be collaborative in selling the look.
Can that you think sense. Of any experiences with a designer where you really felt like they took your opinion into consideration and you felt heard?
Yeah. In my career, in yes. my life? I mean, so many moments where I can think of throughout my career where I remember being early on in my career, 16, 17 years old, and wearing something that was sheer. And I didn't feel comfortable walking down a runway and having my photograph taken in something that I felt uncomfortable and exposed. And that wasn't going to serve the designer in the end, because if I didn't feel good in it, that would come across. And you know, so many other moments as well of like standing up for somebody else when they don't feel like another model, when they don't feel good in what they're wearing. Or if something as trivial as like, this dress is too long, I'm going to trip on it, I know for sure, like, please, can you help hem it or fix it? Or a strap's going to fall off and I'm going to have a wardrobe malfunction and that's just not good for anyone. I mean, so many little things, I guess. And it's just, I think it took me a minute to grow into my own voice and confidence as a model to say, you know what? Yes, I am the canvas wearing this design down the runway, but also like I am a collaborator in this process, in the photograph that's being taken. I'm helping bring it to life on the runway. I'm helping bring it to life. So, you know, I think it's like it took me a while to actually really own that.
You mentioned earlier, you know, given that this is a competition and with all of your experience in the industry, I'm sure you've dealt with rejection in the past. So was that difficult for you to watch some of the designers go through that as well?
It's a great question. And the answer is 100% yes. I mean, it's emotional and it's personal. This show is, we get so invested in, I think both as a viewer and certainly as a judge, you know, I got so invested in the well-being of these designers and wanting to see them succeed. And, you know, week after week, kind of seeing someone who was struggling with something and then they really listen to a piece of advice you give them and they come back the next week better than ever. And then I feel like I saw this kind of growth in over the course of the season through so many of the designers and just got personally invested. But it's, at the end of the day, it's a competition show. And in life and in the fashion industry, the saying, one day you're in, the next day you're out, unfortunately, is true. And you know, there are jobs that I get canceled from or that I don't get, and I just can't do anything about it. And that's just the way that it is. And so I don't take it personally. I think that that's something I've learned through my career, grown thick skin. Don't take it personally.
Absolutely, of course. Can you talk a little bit more about the cast and the diversity we're going to see this season?
I mean, I think it's an important conversation that's being had finally on kind of a broader scale in the fashion industry at large. We're seeing, you know, more reflection on the runways and on covers and in magazines of a better reflection, or at least slightly more reflective of our beautiful and diverse world. I mean, women of all shapes and sizes and colors and gender non-binary, you know, identities enjoy fashion, and fashion should serve those people of all kinds. And you know, I think the fashion industry is finally listening. Maybe that has to do with social media, the fact that everyone has a voice and can voice that opinion. But on the runway, you know, and on Project Runway this season, we really wanted to make sure that the models on our runway reflected the beautiful, diverse world that we live in. And I think also there are other pieces too. I mean, for me, also the fact that in another kind of diversity angle, the designers are range from like 23 to like 60 plus. So, you know, the idea of this next generation designer doesn't just mean someone fresh out of design school. And I think that's one thing that's also been so powerful about Project Runway is that talent comes from everywhere and anywhere. And Project Runway is a platform that can really showcase this talent and these designers, whether they're from Syria or St. Louis or, you know, and we really have designers from all four corners of the earth. So there's a little bit of everything.
There's a lot to look forward to. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
How do you feel like the fashion world has changed, you know, today versus when the show first was on air?
Oh my gosh. I mean, when the show first came on air, I think it was 11, maybe 12. And I can't speak to what was happening in the industry then. It was a few years later when I did enter the industry at the age of 15, the ripe old age. But so much has changed. I mean, since 2004, social media and the digital landscape of building a brand wasn't the same for designers as it is now. Designers today have to think about their marketing, their branding, their values, and how that's reflected in their designs. And I think that certainly wasn't a pressure that designers in 2004 were necessarily thinking about. I mean, so many other aspects of just the way that retail has changed, the way that, you know, you can be a direct-to-consumer business and not even have a brick-and-mortar store and be hugely successful. Just generally, I think, you know, in so many ways the world has changed since 2004. I mean, we're sitting here doing a podcast that people are not even going to see us right now.
Right.
I mean, we're all dolled up. We look great. No one's ever going to know. Unless they maybe check out our Twitter. Maybe they'll
perfect.
Know. They'll know. Yeah, we look flawless right now.
Well, speaking of the digital landscape, can you talk more about getting into coding? Like, where did that come from for you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just a curious girl. And for me, it came from this kind of sheer curiosity around wondering how technology is built, both software and hardware, and how... Who is building it? Who are the people that are behind kind of this technology and software that touches all of our lives? And how can I learn that? Because that skill set is something that I was really fascinated by and confused why I didn't have access to it, to learning how to code. And that's really what it is a language. It is a language and a skill set that can be learned. And I learned kind of high level, some fundamental, foundational coding skills, and it really opened my eyes to technology and how things are built and the back end and front end of building a website or an app. And it made me just realize how similar it is to fashion in a way, in the same kind of creative process of you make a sketch of a dress and then you buy your fabrics and then, you know, you put it together piece by piece. Like building an app, for instance, is the same thing, or building a website. I mean, there's different layers to it, and it is a really creative collaborative process as well, but certainly a creative process and a creative expression. And that to me was like fascinating, that more people don't see it in that way. That was the way that I was kind of exposed to it. And also I found, you know, obviously it's no secret that there's not enough women and girls in computer science and STEM fields. So for me, you know, that's just sincerely where my passions and curiosity are. And I was really excited to use my platform and use my voice to be able to bring light to amazing women in that space. And also, do what I can to create opportunities for girls. So I started Code with Klossy, which essentially is we run summer camps across the United States to teach girls how to code for free. So
that's incredible.
Thank
you. That's amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for stopping by and talking about everything with us.
We're so excited about the season.
I'm so excited. I hope you guys enjoy.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Thanks, Carly.
Thanks, guys.
Christian Siriano is best known for dressing big-name celebrities like Michelle Obama, but now he's adding another title to his ever-growing list of accomplishments, and that is the Project Runway Mentor. So he talked to us about being a helping hand to the contestants and reveals his picks for the worst fashion trends of 2019. Here's that interview. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here with Christian Siriano from Bravo's new Project Runway. Hello, Christian.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
What's going on?
Not much.
I like being in here looking at all the housewife posters.
Right? Aren't they beautiful?
Yeah. It's so funny.
So tell me a little bit about how you prepared to be a mentor for this season.
Ooh, how I prepared. Wow, I don't know, actually. You know what I actually think I didn't really prepare, which I think was able to, I just went in as an open mind and just hopefully was like, I want to guide them as the same way I treat my own team in my office every day that I work with, you know, and I treated them the same as I treat my designers and, you know, I don't know. And that was good and bad because sometimes I was like overly wanting to help sometimes. So I had to step back and I definitely forgot the cameras were around all the time. So that was, maybe a good and a bad thing. But I really just went in it as a very like real myself. And, you know, if I didn't like something, I let them know.
Did you reach out to any of your own mentors just to get some advice or who are some of your mentors?
I know. I didn't really. I mean, you know, I don't, you know, it's interesting because I actually grew because I grew up and in my part of my business, I actually didn't really have a lot of mentors because I was really thrown into the business and was like, oh, become a designer and figure it out. So I hope that actually, in a way, they're getting kind of the best thing because they're getting someone who obviously had been on the show before, but also has been successful afterwards. So hopefully the designers get a little taste of that and whether they listen to me or not, hopefully they'll watch it back and be like, oh, maybe I should.
Right. What is your relationship like with some of the other castmates on the show? Did you know Carly or anyone going in?
A little bit. I knew everybody a little bit, but not, I didn't know Carly very well. And she's the most divine. I mean, she's just so loving and sweet and every day on set, like in a great mood. I'm like, oh, girl, come on. You know, I know something's bothering you, but no, she just was always great. And obviously I've known Nina forever and Elaine is a joy and Brandon's so funny. And so it just was a really great group. What's hard is though, is that I'm with the designer so much helping them. So I don't get to hang out as much as I wanted to.
Right. So are there any sort of challenges this season that were your favorite that you could sort of tease?
God, what was my favorite? We do the really cool, the A Human Challenge, which is with that Simon Huck created these really cool, amazing kind of body kind of modifications and the designers have to design around them. And I actually think it's really like a great challenge because it maybe could be one day. And I thought that was kind of cool. So it felt really like futurism and it's also amazing to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you give us like one word to describe what this season is like?
Oh, gosh. One word. I think it's just, I don't know. It's so hard in one word because it's like new and exciting and emotional but very, you know, on trend with what's happening in our world. So it's exciting.
Well, speaking of that, I wanted to ask you about sort of the body positivity movement that's happening right now in mm-hmm. the fashion industry. Mm-hmm. How have you seen that sort of change over the last couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think, this idea of celebrating people a bit more is very important, whether it's in, you know, not just body, but everything, culture, shape, size, everything, ages. Yeah, so I think it's just a huge thing that we're seeing in fashion because I think it was lost for so long. But clothes should be for everybody and they should be fun and the easy part of the day, getting dressed. I mean, we're not doing anything serious here. So I think that's what should be reflected. And I think that's reflected in the show a lot, which is really great. The designers have a lot of challenges with that and they have to figure out what works for them. But it's great to see.
Well, one of the things I wanted to ask you, too, is one of the most talked about looks from the Oscars was Billy Porter's.
Yeah.
So can you talk a little bit about the inspiration for that look?
Yeah, it was so fast and crazy, like a week before. So it was not like a huge, crazy planned thing. We were just like, he was like, I want to wear a gown. I was like, great. I was like, well, do you like this? Should we do like a jacket? Like, let's make it kind of tuxedo-y looking. So it's still like evening. And it was just about the balance. It happened very organically, but you know, we're so happy that it changed so many people's lives, and you know, we hope that all these like young, you know, boys, girls, whatever you are, feel like you can wear whatever you want to wear, because there are no rules. If you want to show up to school in a dress, you should be able to, and I think that's hopefully where we're going, that there are no more rules anymore.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Did you see the Glenn Close meme that came out of it?
So, I mean, literally, you can't write that stuff. Like, it's right. So amazing that happened. And it just was so fabulous because she also probably was like, what's going on? But, it, oh, God, it was
Amazing. You can like see her thought process. We were just saying that before.
Every
came in,
emotion.
Like, everything that she goes through. You
everything.
Know?
That was such an actress. Like, oh, yeah. I mean, that was an Oscar right there. That was so good.
So how do you, when you collaborate with the people that you work with, what is that process like? Is it usually them coming to you? Do you seek out people you want to work with?
It's a mix. It's like, it depends. Like with Billy, obviously, we, you know, he came in the studio. We had a quick fitting for the first time. And then no fitting afterward. Sometimes there can be 5 fittings. Sometimes there can be never a fitting. You know, you like it's so random. Sometimes the best moments, we just send a dress, you know, and they wear it. It's like that's what's so unbelievable about this business is that you cannot plan for it. You never know what's going to happen, which can be exciting. It can be stressful. All the above.
Who are some of the favorite people that you've dressed like within the last year? You had a lot on the Oscars red carpet.
Yeah. I mean, everyone is, you know, I don't know. It's like, I get excited over the weirdest things, you know, I don't know, just great moments. Like, yeah, dressing Billy was amazing. Dressing Octavia was awesome. You know, we've had, oh God, the year has been wild. And also what's so interesting to think about sometimes is, you know, it's even like the little things, like even like, I don't know, Judith Light going to like a party, but just because I love Judith Light, like I don't care, you know, the Emmys when, you know, when Regina King won her Emmy and then Leslie Jones presented her Emmy to her, I dressed both of them. So they're on stage at the same time at the Emmys and that, you know, that you don't know that's going to happen. So things like that are just like great memories.
Right. Are there any fashion trends that you would like to see go away in 2019?
Oh, I mean, the athleisure thing is like a little, you know, it's a little bit much. You know, wearing your workout clothes every day, all day to the office. I don't know. I think that's a bit weird because then that puts me out of a job. But yeah, I definitely think that that's my one thing.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have any advice that you would want to give young designers, young people of color, young LGBT, any sort of messages that you kind of want to come out of this season and just the work that you do?
Ooh, I mean, I think it's just about celebration. And I think that that goes with everything that we all do, just like in our world, in our culture, because I think there's so much like crazy hate and horrible things that the fun things like fashion and television and all those things should be the great moments. So I think that's what's great about this season of Project Runway is it's going to celebrate all those things because it should, you know?
Absolutely.
So I think that will be exciting to watch.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Kristen, for coming in. We
yeah,
really appreciate
thank
it. We're
you.
So excited about this new season of Project Runway.
It's going to be fabulous.
Brandon Maxwell has designed for everyone from Lady Gaga to Duchess Meghan Markle. And he's a fellow Texan. I got him to play a little game of Rose and Thorn centered around being a judge on Project Runway.
And you'll never guess what his thorn is.
Let's take a listen. So we're here with Brandon Maxwell.
I know.
So exciting.
Ooh, I want to talk in like the podcast voice.
Yes.
Ooh, I love it.
Okay.
Sexy designer.
Yeah. If they don't see me, they'll believe it.
So we wanted to ask, your backstory is kind of similar to any typical contestant on Project Runway, from a small town, headed to NYC to pursue fashion. So did you kind of see yourself in some of the designers this season?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think I was probably the most emotional one on the show. And I cried a lot. And then I also was very angry when people didn't take the opportunity, because so many other young people would love to have that opportunity. You know, I watched the show from its inception, so have been a big fan of it. And I really see so much of myself in them. You know, I know that we're there to sort of critique, but I also think that now more than ever, we need to understand what designers are about and what they're feeling and what they're going through. And I tried to really take that into account, and probably too much in the first couple episodes. Nina was like, okay, move it along. Is it good or is it bad?
She's a tough cookie.
I was like, bad is subjective, you know? She's like, I got kids, I gotta go.
Do you think because she's done it so long, she's a veteran, that she was kind of tough on you newbies?
Well, I've known Nina for years, and you know, I think the thing with Nina is that she is an incredibly strong woman. She runs, you know, a business, and she's got children, and she's doing it all. And so she just doesn't really have time for a lot of you know, hoopla. She's very direct, and you know, I think that was really helpful. I think you probably see throughout the course of the season how I probably became a little bit. I sit next to her on the show, and I probably came a little bit more like that. Because I got so invested and I would go home and cry and get upset about it. It's obviously heartbreaking to send someone home and you're watching them, you know, in real time, just have this heartbreak. And after a time, she was like, you just need to, like, this is one challenge. We just need to move on to the next. And you kind of do. It's unfortunate. Now I'm just like, you know, cold and haggard and tired.
What have we done to you? So on the podcast, we do a segment called Rose and Thorn. And it's sort of our favorite and least favorite moments of the past week.
Yes, we do that at my house every night.
Do you?
Oh. Rose and Thorn. Gotta do it.
So did you have a Rose and Thorn for, like, being a Project Runway judge?
Yeah. Okay. So the rose was that I know for sure that somebody, you know, multiple people's lives were changed by that experience. And that really for me is why I did it. You know, I've only had this business for 3 years. I was a stylist for 10 years, but I'm really in the thick of it. And, you know, I do things that are more public facing, but I'm still also just trying to keep the light bill on and keep the company going. And so to be able to impact their lives in that way was a real rose. And then the thorn, obviously, is that where we shoot has like no air condition and I'm wearing two pairs of Spanx and it's like 18 hours a day. That was a major effing thorn. That's all I'm going to say.
I thought it was going to be, you know, seeing the heartbreak of those right. that we sent home.
That's no, what I thought
we
were going.
It was the two Spanx.
No, nothing is worse than wearing two pairs of Spanx, like a wool sweater with no air. I guarantee you that there's 2 hours of me on film just saying, what the hell on the thing? What the hell? And then as I'm watching it going along, I do get thinner, which is a big, it never happens, you know? So I guess it's also a rose, but mostly a thorn.
Well, I have to ask you a tough question and you have to answer. Okay.
Oh, God. Oh, do we do plead the fifth on here?
No.
Okay. No.
We just ask the tough questions and make you answer.
Okay. God, what is it?
Who is the most stylish among Carly, Elaine, and Christian?
Carly, Elaine, and Christian. Who's the most stylish? Oh, my God. Okay, now, see, if I wasn't a huge, massive television star, I would have been in politics. And so I'm going to answer this very politically correct. They all have their own personal styles. And the truth of the matter is that it's me.
Right.
Who cares about them?
Thinking?
We're here to talk about me. Who cares about any of those people? They're all losers, okay? I'm the most popular one.
Ooh, we're going to lead with that.
Yeah.
Brandon Slant, co-stars. They're all losers.
I try to do that as much as possible because, you know, people, like, just really buy into that. But the thing is, I don't know. We're all, like, it's too much. We're like a family. We've all known each other for a million years, you know?
Really?
Seriously, we've all worked together in some capacity before. You know, Elaine was like, my first internship was at Teen Vogue. My first job was at Teen Vogue. Christian, I've made dresses with clients. Carly's been in like every show. We've gone to every event and done everything together. And Nina, I've worked for Elle. She's gave me my very first award. I've known her this for years. So it was like really fun. They all have great style. I'm always in like black and they come in for some real festive stuff, you know?
Well, you recently dressed your friend Lady Gaga for the Oscars. What was it like dressing her for her first Oscar win?
I mean, it was amazing. You know, the thing about that is that Sandra and Tom, who are her stylists, we worked together for years, and everybody's like a big family and brother and sister. So, you know, it's always just nice when someone that you love so much is recognized and applauded and celebrated, and she's, you know, you really wouldn't be talking to me today if it weren't for her. And so you know, obviously in my career she's been very supportive, but just as a friend and keeping me alive and going, you know, I owe so much to her. And she worked very hard on that, and I think it was very well deserved. And I'm the biggest fan of the Oscars of all time, so actually went to the Oscars together, she and I, for the first time like 5 years ago, I think, just for fun. And so I'd love that. But Sandra and Tom actually surprised me with that. They had the dress and didn't tell me until I was like watching it on TV. So it was really great.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, Sandra, what's she wearing? She was like, I can't talk. I'm really busy today. I was like, okay, cool. And then she was like, turn on the TV. And I did. And then I had hysterically couldn't breathe.
Oh.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Since you watch Project Runway back in its original iteration, mm-hmm. what can you tell people?
I think we see so much of the contestants' stories, and I think we really have a lot of access to them, and we spoke to them a lot, also the models as well. It's a super diverse cast, just in terms of on all fronts. So just in terms of where they come from, how old they are, you know, just every single, it really runs the gamut. And I think also we are addressing kind of, you know, I think when people say like, well, it's really about what the fashion industry is now, I think that that's very complex. It's not just Instagram. It's not just whatever. You know, I think that really the most important thing happening right now is what we discussed before, is that I just think people need to understand what they're buying and they want to know what it's about and what the story is and what the brand stands for. And so I think we all dive deep into areas that we know about. You know, I really dove into stories that I felt I could speak on. And so I know Elaine did as well, and Carly and Nina. And each one of us, I think, have a really nice balance of feeling connected to certain people for certain reasons. And so we, you know, there's so much of their stories. And I think that that is something that people, and they're really like, they're beautiful stories and they're also heartbreaking stories. So I think that in itself is different. You know, I didn't know so much about the contestants before, and I ask all the questions, you know, and I really get in there because, you know, I want to know. I mean, also imagine being a young person, sorry, it's a long answer, but like going and being on television in front of, you know, as a designer myself, putting my work out there at Fashion Week and then opening up a newspaper the next morning is terrifying. So doing it in real time on live television, I had a real empathy for that because, you know, and the thing is that not everything you're going to do is going to be great. And especially in that time. Do you know how hard it is to make a dress in 2 days? I mean, it's near impossible. So, you know, that for me, I really tried to dive super deep into. And I did cry a lot.
We talked to Christian a little bit about the sort of body positivity movement that we're seeing in the fashion industry.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Can you talk a little bit about how you've seen that change over the years?
I can only speak for myself, and I think Christian and I design a very similar way in that we try to create worlds as we see them and as we live in them, you know. So I think that my world with the women that are on the runway, the women that are on the carpets, the women that are in my living room when you come home, that's how I think about telling stories at our brand. And I think that that's very much how Christian thinks as well. I just think that the world is round, and there are so many different types of people. And ultimately, fashion is meant to make you feel good and feel the best about yourself. And we should be servicing any woman that wants to feel good. And I think that first and foremost is the most important thing. And I think we also address that a lot on the show. And one thing I was happy, it was my first question when I was deciding whether to do it, was do the models have an opinion? Do they have a point of view? Will we hear from them? Will we take into account what they have to say? And we really did, and got to know them. It's kind of nice. I was actually just at an event the other night, and one of the girls from the show was like a model. It was an event for me, obviously huge star of the show. And she was one of the models, and it's just great. You know, it's like I do have really long answers. Keep going.
I love it. That's
don't bring anybody else in here.
Well, what's one fashion trend you would like to see end in 2019?
Fashion trend that I would see. I just like don't even know what the fashion trends are. But you know what is one thing that is kind of crazy? Is these shoes that are just so big. Everybody's wearing these sneakers that are just like really huge. Like they're like skis and they're also super wide.
Like those Fila. Is that the
I don't
brand,
even
right?
know. That like they're, like, just, I, like the thick. They're just like really large tennis shoes. And for me, I'm so large everywhere, like just on every level, that I'm trying to get my shoes to be as small as possible. Do you know what I mean? Just to like really bring it down low at the bottom.
Yeah.
So that's a trend for me that I'm just like, I can't get into it.
That's fair.
But I'm not someone who's like, oh, don't wear leggings or don't wear whatever, because that's all I'm wearing.
We've heard athleisure is one that
who
could
said
maybe
that, Christian?
End.
You know what? He and I are both wearing athleisure every day. I will expose the lies.
So you're from Longview, Texas?
Yes, is I am.
Your family still there?
Yeah, everyone's still there. Yeah, everybody's still there.
So do you go back often?
Yeah, I go back a lot. I was I've been actually going back a lot for the past couple months to be with my family and my mom. And we've been, I go a lot. I'm the oldest of five. So I go home a lot. And, you know, there's always moments you don't want to miss. And also for me, it's nice. Like so much of our lives are kind of stuck in a room creating. So it's good to get out. And nature for me is really a big inspiration. So being out sort of in the country is really good. I'm not a very bougie person, for real. I mean, I think I'm also someone who doesn't take life like super seriously. So I love to go and enjoy what my life really was like growing up. You know, I will rather be at Whataburger than at like some fancy restaurant. It's not for me. So I love it's nice to take breaks and go home.
Well, I went to school in East Texas, and that's why SFA.
Oh, okay. My stepmom went there.
Yeah. So I'm just curious because I feel like even being from Dallas.
You should have led with that.
Oh, sorry. Even being from Dallas, it's like hard to explain to my family mm-hmm. what I do for a living. So yeah. I wonder what the experience like for you as someone who is such a star here.
Yeah,
in New
I mean,
York.
Massive. Almost it would burn your eyes out, you know?
Do they get it back home?
Yeah. You know, the thing is that for every good thing you see, there are years of struggle and pain and stress and anxiety and failures. And I'm so blessed to have two parents and great grandparents and siblings who really have rode that roller coaster with me. And so they're thrilled, obviously, to turn on the TV and see me. But, you know, I think they're also just happy that I have a job, you know, and that I'm doing okay. And that, you know, they always say that like you seem healthy and happy, and that's good. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, they come to the fashion shows. I'm somebody who, if you were to follow me around, I roll pretty deep. I've got the same best friends my whole life. You know, everyone in my studio, we kind of go everywhere and do everything together. So yeah, they're everywhere with me, you know, and what's the point? Because I don't want to be out there being on television or have a successful company just for myself. I've been alone before and it's boring. I'm doing it all for them, to be able to show them a part of the world they wouldn't necessarily be able to see, you know. I love when they like get a passport or we travel or they get to see a different part of the, you know, world. It's just, that's the reason why everybody does it. You know, nobody does it because they want to be famous. They do it because they want the opportunity to give people in their lives a life that they wouldn't necessarily be able to see. And that's what's the driver for me. So
yeah, it was touching.
I would do it just to be like, famous.
Wow. Really? I think fame is just like the worst.
It seems addictive.
It's just, I don't know anything about it. But I think that you either have to, and I've been really blessed to the, you know, friends that I have that are famous have really led a life with purpose. And I think that that's been like a good thing for me to see, is that if you're going to be famous, what are you going to do with it? And, you know, the friends that I have that are famous have touched so many lives. You look out and you see young people whose lives have just been transformed and changed because they've used their platform positively. But I think we just live in a culture now that's so like, gotcha, and we love to just like build it up and break it down. Everything's a reality show, you know? So I don't know. That's why I'm excited about this show, because it is a reality show, and my portion is not, but it is a reality show. But I think we tried to really lead with heart and purpose, because I just think people are craving for that right now. Everything is so negative when you turn on the TV. Everything is really dark. I think young people really need something to grab onto to let them know that, like, it's good. And life is about hard work and positivity and love and your friends and creativity. And that's kind of, I hope, what this show will achieve for people over time. And I do think it's a build over the season. You really have to grow with it and follow those stories. And I hope people will. We just try to, you know, drive that narrative in our own, you know, our own careers, and that's in our own past. And that's what I've tried to do in fashion in my own way, is just to say that life can be more than just this, you know, and
that's
it should
amazing.
Be.
Well, thank you so much, Brendan. We appreciate you coming in. We're so excited about the new season.
Thank you so much. As a last thought, did you guys want to tell everybody, since they can't see me, just how incredible looking I am?
He is so handsome.
Everyone audibly was they're like,
yeah,
when you walked in.
Yeah, I felt they were, so I just thought they should point it out. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having
you.
Me. It was a joy. Bye.
Bye. The fabulous Elaine Welteroth is the former editor-in-chief of Teen Vogue, so she has a lot of experience judging fashion.
We asked Elaine some deep questions, including how much of her career trajectory was by design and how much of it was just by chance.
And Megan, she even compared you to Oprah.
I know. Here's what she had to say about being a part of the new Project Runway.
We are here with Elaine Welteroth from Project Runway. Hello, Woo! How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Great. We just had a fun little photo shoot, so we're just like all warmed up, which is great.
Totally.
So what was it like receiving the offer to become a judge on Project Runway?
So I was sitting in a coffee shop writing my book in my workout clothes. And as soon as I stepped outside, I got a call about Project Runway. Like, we want you to be on Project Runway. And I was literally like, huh? Wait, what? I felt like I needed to like hang up, process, and then call back, which I think I actually did. It was really surreal. I grew up watching Project Runway, you know, hearing about Project Runway, and it's just, it's not something that was on my radar at all. But, you know, I really thought about it. I was like, what would it take for me to say yes, be on the show, and feel really proud of this? And I think for me, it was, I want to have a hand in this. I want to have a creative say. And, you know, I've been an editor for 10 years. You know, I'm used to having a say. I was the editor-in-chief of Teen Vogue. So I'm interested in every part of a creative project. And right out of the gates, the producers were really open to that. They wanted to have a conversation. They wanted it to be collaborative with all of us. And so we were able to bring our ideas to the table. And for me, making sure that the show was incredibly inclusive was important. And I found out immediately that that was a priority for them too. And, you know, we were able to share ideas about some of the challenges. And it just felt like the kind of family, you know, that I wanted to be a part of. And then, like, come on, Carly Kloss, who's one of my friends, the nicest person in the world, and also, by the way, a badass. Like, she is a badass in business. She's doing great things for young girls all over the world. So we kind of have that in common in terms of just from a mission standpoint. You know, we have a similar set of values. And then Brandon, who's like the most beloved designer in fashion, and I just adore him. Christian Siriano, huge, you know, America's designer sweetheart. Nina Garcia, who's such a respected, esteemed editor that I've sat next to at shows over the years. So it was just kind of like an offer you cannot refuse. And I said yes, and I've never looked back. I sent an intention at the beginning. I was like, if I'm going to do this, it needs to be fun every day. And we need to feel like we're like really being ourselves. And because it's scary, you know, it's scary going from behind the scenes to being out there in front of the camera. But you know what? I had so much fun with these people that the cameras just faded to the background.
The trajectory of your career is really fascinating. And I want to know how much of that is by design and how much is by chance.
Ooh, that's a good question, Oprah. Thank you. So it's, you know what? It is equal parts both. I came into this industry with a plan. Like, I was that like earnest college student who was like, I have to figure out my life. And I kind of, you know, I came across a woman who really inspired me because of how multifaceted her career was. I stalked her. We had an informational phone call. Her name was Harriet Cole. And then we became, I worked for her. She hired me. And that was my big break in the fashion world, in the magazine world. But I always knew, because she was my role model, that it was going to start with magazines, and then we're going to move into, you know, hopefully best-selling books, move into TV and hopefully film. Like, I had this long-term big vision that had different phases in it. I just didn't expect the magazine part to go this fast. Like, I think the world kind of fell off of its axis in around 2016. We all know why. And everything has been happening so much faster since then. So, you know, I looked up and realized all my magazine dreams have come true and more. You know, I'm the editor-in-chief at 30 years old. I've, you know, helped transform this brand with the help of an extraordinary team. Like, you know, I felt like I was at the peak of that career, and I wanted to leave on a high and, like, you know, dream up the next dream and go for it. Because I just feel like we shouldn't feel defined by the roles that we take. We shouldn't feel defined by the titles we have. And we got to keep growing and evolving. And so I was like, it's the time where I got to jump, make that leap of faith. And it was the perfect time. And, you know that because the universe then conspires in your favor, not to get all spiritual and deep on you, but then things come to you. You set an intention and you work hard on what you can control. And then you know you're like on the right path when things that are bigger and better than you could have ever dreamed of come to you, like this show. This was not a part of my life plan, but it came to me and I said yes. And honestly, it's the best. It's been so much fun to be a part of it. I am scared. I'm scared to see myself on TV. I will say that. I hate seeing my, you know, hearing my voice on TV, or I probably wouldn't even listen to this podcast, to be honest. but yeah. So I think, yeah, it's a little bit of both. You know, you got to set your intentions, and then you got to have a lot of faith.
Did you channel sort of that editor-in-chief mindset when you had to make some tough decisions on the show?
Absolutely. I mean, I've worked for the best editor-in-chief in the world, which is Anna Wintour. And let me tell you this. That woman is decisive. She knows what she likes, and she will tell you the truth. I respect that about her, and I have really learned how to be really sharp and incisive with my feedback, and also sensitive, because I'm a creative person too, and I know how much courage it takes to put yourself out there, to put your designs in the world, your stories in the world. And you know, so I think that no one on the show was snarky or bitchy just for the sake of being snarky and bitchy. I think that's it. There's a new spirit that we're bringing in that is much more about lifting these designers up, trying to make them the best they can possibly be, because we want another star. We want another. We want to cultivate the next generation of stars in fashion. And it, you know, the world's changed a lot. That star doesn't need to necessarily come through Vogue anymore. It doesn't necessarily need to, you know, get the fashion world's approval, because it's about really serving America. And this show has an opportunity to, you know, get the buy-in of the consumer without ever going through those traditional routes. And I love that. Like, there's nothing that feels better than giving deserving people opportunities. And that's what this show is about.
Yeah. Whoever, you know, does come out a winner is potentially serving Generation Z.
Yes.
What do you think about this next up-and-coming generation and maybe what they want out of fashion?
That's such a good question. I think Gen Z is a whole different animal. Like, even from me, I'm a millennial, and I would say every 4 years, the mindset completely changes. Like, even people who are 26, I'm like, whoa. We look at the world very differently. Right. But luckily, with my time at Teen Vogue, I feel like I really do understand kind of the worldview of folks who are a part of, you know, the next generation. And I think this is a buzzword that is very overused, but it is absolutely true that they value authenticity almost over anything. And they're very much, they're also focused on how something is made and who makes it. I think because we live in this world, you know, where social media dominates media, we expect to know who these people are that are designing the things that we buy, and we want to feel connected to them. So I think one of the newer elements of, you know, this show is helping the designers tell their story and helping the designers communicate what their values are, because the values of Gen Z are very different, and they want to know that you're thinking about sustainability. They want to know that you understand how to design for every woman's body, including women with curves. You know, they want to know that you value and prioritize diversity and inclusion. And, you know, we live in call out culture. So if you don't, those things will be called out. So we want to really kind of coach these designers to make sure that they're not designing in a vacuum, because you can't get away with that anymore.
Absolutely. Can you talk a little bit about the diversity we're going to see this season?
Yeah, it is the most diverse and inclusive season you will ever see of Project Runway, and we are so proud of that. And it's not this sort of like, let's check a box kind of like quota, you know. It's organic, and it's reflective of the world. It is not about tokenizing people. It is really just about making sure we were, you know, prioritizing like diversity and inclusion at every step of the creation of this show. It wasn't about just like, you know, let's make sure we have one plus size designer, one plus size model. Let's make sure we have one Black person, one person from the LGBT community. It was really about like throw out all those formulas, and let's just make sure that the show is reflective of the world, and that people feel comfortable here, and that we cultivate a sense of belonging for people. And I think the show is really successful in that regard. We have, you know, 20 years difference between the youngest and the most mature designer, which I think is important, because when we say next generation, sometimes we think like young. We think like, okay, we're looking for somebody who's like 21 years old. Not necessarily. One of my favorite designers was over 40, has 9 children, is on her second marriage, living her best life. And I love that, because that also reflects so many of the people who are going to watch this show. They want to see themselves in the show. And I think that we do that really well. We also have the first trans model that the show has ever had. That was a surprise to the producers. They did not cast according to that, but they were, you know, they came out on the show and by the way, this is one of the fiercest models you've ever seen. Those cheekbones, that walk. She's incredible. And, you know, we every size, shape, shade, hair texture, it's all reflected. It's all on the runway. And I think it just makes for a better end product. And we really reinforce for these designers. We're like, if you are not designing for your woman's, your model's comfort, then you're getting docked points. Did you ask her how she feels in that? Can she walk? You know, because this is Project Runway. This is about the people, first and foremost. So yeah, really proud. I hope America appreciates that aspect of this season. And we also don't shy away from kind of controversial conversations that are happening in the world, because, you know, fashion doesn't exist in its own bubble anymore.
Well, thank you so much, Elaine, for coming in. We really appreciate
it.
We're so excited.
Me too. Thank you so much.
Of course. We want to thank our guests, Carly Kloss, Christian Siriano, Brandon Maxwell, and Elaine Welteroth. The season has just begun, so be sure to catch the cast of Project Runway Thursday at 8, 7 Central. And if you need to catch up, make sure you download the Bravo app to stream full episodes.
And make sure you subscribe to The Daily Dish, because we're going to be back with a regularly scheduled episode on Thursday. Bye.
Hey guys, Willie Geist here. Join me on my Sunday sit-down podcast, a big interview every week with the likes of Bill Murray, Jerry Seinfeld, Bradley Cooper, Kevin Hart, Emily Blunt, Natalie Portman, and yes, J-Lo. All this name dropping's making me tired. Check out the Sunday sit-down podcast for free.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at Bravo TV.
Don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out. You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
TTYL.
Bye.
Bye. Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy. Miss me.